This is Jordan Seculo. More from the debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy about religion in the military.
Live from Washington, D.C.
This is my right.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about freedom.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I will fight.
Hey, this is Jordan Sekulow. Welcome to the broadcast. Today, in the coverage of our debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy, this debate was about religion at our military schools in the United States of America, specifically this debate held at the Air Force Academy. We've broken it down into different segments. You can go to aclj.org and listen to each segment online, which I encourage you to do so if you've missed a segment this week. Let's continue with our coverage of this debate at the Air Force Academy.
My question is to you, Mr. Weinstein. I'm a fourth classman here, and this year something that's become really relevant to me is that in 3 years I'm going to become an officer. When I become an officer, I'm going to have to make moral and ethical decisions on, and as I proceed through the ranks, I'm going to have to make moral and ethical decisions on how I run my whatever I'm in charge in. And we're living in a country where we even have moral and ethical ways of killing people. So with that in mind, I find it necessary for me to look to those who are in charge of me, my superiors. I look to them for their wisdom on how they deal, how they have dealt, or do deal with situations of moral and ethical bounds in the military.
Please pose your question.
I'm just asking, sir, if in the classroom, I've talked to my military strategic studies teacher often about ethical issues, and he's shared openly with our class. Do you find that in violation that he's sharing with us?
Absolutely not. Of course not. You know, my nephew is a 10th grader in Houston. He called me about 3 weeks ago. He said, Uncle Mikey, he was all exercise because he was forced to go to the post office to get a passport because his class is going overseas for some class trip. And he said he sat down, another teenager came over and started witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. He was very uncomfortable being Jewish. He told him to stop. He kind of walked to a different, sat down at a different place. The kid kept on him. Finally, my nephew Brady told him to, told him to please stop doing that, and with some words. And he said, he called me up. He was practically panting. Uncle Mikey, can we get this guy? I go, no, Brady, no. You know, as Soren Kierkegaard said, anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. If you're feeling some anxiety out there, welcome to a free country. If you don't want separation of church and state, go to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or Kim Jong-il's North Korea. I said to my nephew, this is a very instructive point. Now, you know, you told that, you know, that kid to F off. You think you can do that, if that's your boss in the civilian world, or certainly a military? In the military, no, you can't. Obviously, if you're going and seeking guidance, no problem. No problem. When it's coming down from the commander, and of course there's going to be gradations here. I'm going to go back to the core values in the U.S. Air Force. Core values. It's a matter of individual conscience. Commanders and all military professionals in the U.S. Air Force must never try to change or coercively influence the religious views of subordinates. So there's that change aspect there.
It's going to need an executive order. Going through Congress is going to be too difficult. 877. I need you to call this number right now. 877-989-2255. This is to add your name to a petition supporting an executive order from President Bush protecting our chaplain's right to pray. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. 877-989-2255 for our chaplains to have the right to pray. They're being told not to use Jesus' name when they're giving a prayer at an event. It could even be funeral services or as the soldiers are about to go out in battle. There are a variety of different chaplains within the context of the military. So the idea is that you have these different chaplains so that people are covered, people are protected. But this is the fight. This is the battle. Should our military chaplains have the right to pray according to the dictates of their conscience? And should President Bush sign an executive order on this? 877-989-2255. And we really want you to help us to make sure these chaplains can pray according to the dictates of their conscience. Again, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org for updated information.
Now more than ever, our men and women who serve in the military deserve our gratitude, our respect, and our prayers. And those who serve in the military should be able to turn to their chaplains for prayer. But there's a problem. The freedom of military chaplains to pray according to their faith is now threatened. It's a troubling development, one that must be met head-on. That's why the American Center for Law and Justice is backing an effort spearheaded by North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones to urge President Bush to direct Defense Secretary Gates to issue new regulations to protect the constitutional right of military chaplains to pray according to their faith. That means ensuring chaplains can pray in the name of Jesus. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the petition to protect military prayer. Send an important message to President Bush. Sign the petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. The petition to protect military prayer. You can also add your name online at ACLJ.org.
Regent Law School is training Christian lawyers to change the world.
Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. He knows the value of an education at Regent University, and he knows Regent School of Law is much more than just an educational institution.
Regent is unique in that it offers the highest quality of legal education from a Christian perspective, and we never sacrifice intellectual integrity.
If you're considering a career in the law, it's time for you to consider Regent Law School. Regent Law School is distinctive because it integrates the study of law with biblical principles. Regent believes that law is more than just a profession. It's a calling. The time to apply right now. If you would like more information about the School of Law at Regent University or would like to enroll, call this toll-free number, 1-877-267-5072. That's 1-877-267-5072. There's more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
This is my right, a right given by God, to live a free life, to live in freedom.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. This week we've been playing for you an important debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein. It was at the U.S. Air Force Academy just a couple months ago. We talked a lot about this debate over the past few months, and we've had Michael Weinstein on the program to discuss his organization, Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which takes an opposing view to the American Center for Law and Justice on these issues. It's an important debate. We've broken it down for you, so if you've missed a day, just go to ACLJ.org. You can check out the debate online. Let's go back and start listening to the debate again.
Is there a question on this side, please?
Hello, sir. CNC McIntyre, Cadet Squadron 27. Sir, you've addressed the out-and-out cases in which discrimination or coercion is obvious. My question is regards to where do you draw the line in terms of nonverbal or non-expressed coercion? Is a commander wearing a yarmulke on duty, you obviously believe it's not coercive, but to a subordinate, at what point is a person's nonverbal action, at which point is their expression or office decoration or otherwise behavior considered coercive? The relationship of the military subordinate superior has been designed to be coercive, and as such, it may require a special case here. I was curious as...
I think it's a really good question. And again, I didn't have the privilege of attending your academy, nor did I serve in the military. But I will say this, that I think when you look at coercion, which is another one, I think Mikey and I would probably agree on this, is easy to say, hard to define. Because there is indirect coercion, no doubt about it. But I think that the students, the cadets at this incredibly great institution are mature enough to understand that the academy doesn't endorse everything it fails to censor. That one, a thing that I think is very good about this dialogue, this debate, but this dialogue, is we're all kind of getting to air our concerns, and we can have an open dialogue. And I think if you walked into a faculty member's office, let's say that's Roman Catholic, and they, you know, feel as part of their faith they keep a crucifix on their desk. I don't think if you're a Jewish student or if you're a student that has no faith at all that you should be offended by it unless he's beating you over the head with that crucifix. And that's where the tolerance comes in. So, I mean, I've had faculty and you've had work environments where someone has a faith that you didn't agree with. My wife was a teacher in an inner city school when we first got married, and her principal was Jehovah's Witness. And he was proselytizing, as the phrase is used. And he said, look, I didn't agree with anything he said. theologically, but he said it. I didn't feel like I had to be there. I didn't attend his studies. And I'm mature enough to understand a school doesn't endorse everything it fails to censor.
Mr. Weinstein?
What I was going to say was that trying to describe what it feels like to be a subordinate in the U.S. military or a cadet at West Point Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, to someone who hasn't gone through it, again, non-pejoratively, non-pedantically at all, my brother Jay, is like trying to describe how beautiful the Grand Canyon looks on a summer sunset night to Stevie Wonder. You know, you feel the corrosion in different ways. You know you all do, those of you who have served and those of you who are veterans. It rarely are you going to have, although we have a lot of it, a commander getting in your face and telling you that you better accept this gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't do it, and you know, not only that, you better accept it and get the next person next to you, living cheek by jowl with. It's something that is very hard to define. But as I said before, it's necessary. And obviously we're going to disagree on this, Jay. I believe that the Establishment Clause must trump the Free Exercise Clause when you're in the military. We have many things you can't do in the military. Like I said, something is what appears to be as trivial as pushing Tupperware, Mary Kay Cosmetics, and Amway. We lost one of my classmates who almost became Air Force Secretary, Daryl Jones, because of an issue with that. And this is not high school, it's not a civilian college. One has to be very careful when you're dealing with going to war.
I would say this, though, and I would use the Stevie Wonder example this way. You know, Stevie Wonder's been blind since birth, but I suspect with his gifts that he's been given and the music that he writes, that he probably could have a vision of the Grand Canyon without actually seeing it. And why is that? Because people talk, and people describe it. And he's got the cognitive capability to understand it and comprehend it, and though he can't see it with his eyes, he could probably see it with his mind.
And I want you to run the assault course.
I think that's part of how you engage a dialogue.
Censorship at the very basic level. You're telling a pastor, a chaplain, how they can pray or not pray, and we think that's ridiculous. But the legislation ideas that we're going forward, we did get some of these really draconian regulations rolled back at the end of the year. That was a good start. But now we need to get an executive order issued from the president to the Secretary of Defense that simply says they have the right to pray according to the dictates of their conscience. But folks, the only way we're going to get this through is if thousands, tens of thousands of you call us and become part of the team here. 877-989-2255 to have your voice heard. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Our time for question and answer is drawing to a close. We have time for several more. Let's hear from
this
side.
We can do rapid fire to get everything.
That's right.
Just do the quickies.
I see long lines waiting. We'll won't get to all of them.
I'm Cadet Second Class Stuart Hawkins, Squadron 21, Legal Studies major at the Academy. My question is directed at you, Mr. Weinstein. I was curious, I'm a religious person, and you stated earlier that if a commander came and just asked someone to come to a religious function, that was wrong. During the duty days. I have friends and teachers who are both Muslim, Jewish, Christian, of all different religions, Wiccan, and I have been invited by my superiors to spire groups and also out to drink, superiors. I was curious, what is the difference between being invited to religious activity and going out to drink? And legally, what is someone's right to be offended by being invited religiously and not being able to be offended by being invited to go out to drink?
You know, you talk, that's an excellent question, by the way. You can talk about, would the vast majority of people not be offended in this situation? Let me quote Sandra Day O'Connor, who I wish was still on the court. In this country, we do not count heads before enforcing the First Amendment. We just don't do that. And I can't go through the full panoply, the full spectrum of all the different issues that would come up. I can tell you again that you know it when you feel it. But and particularly at a military academy, but as I said, we've had the court rule about VMI, which although it's not a federal military academy, much like the Military College of South Carolina, the Citadel, it still is obviously an academy. That something as simple as a secular prayer was found to be, in this environment, for being adversarial, communal, and ritualistic, that it exacted an unconstitutional toll. Obviously, if a Jewish, a fellow Jewish cadet is going to invite you to a Seder, we're not going to stop any of that. As I said before, we're getting down to the granulation.
Well, why wouldn't you, though? What's the difference between the Seder and if a Jewish instructor invites the students to a Seder, which is a religious exercise,
right,
and they invite non-Jewish students? I mean, I invited students to the Seder at my house.
I think Jewish. That would be great. But
why is that great? And then the Bible study isn't.
Let me tell you this way. When we have upperclassmen that are speaking in tongues in the squadron assembly room.
Okay, but what about the Seder? Okay, Let's go back to the Seder.
Okay, if you want to get back into magnitude, Seder, good. Upperclassmen, squadron, Bible study, not just Bible, speaking in tongues in the SAR, bad, bad.
Mike, listen, I love the Seder. But you can't say the Seder's okay and the Bible study isn't.
No, I'm talking about with regard to how the people feel, what place they're being put into.
Well, I'm not, because you and I are comfortable at the Seder.
You know, you're coming to my next Seder, and some of you can answer. We'll just rule all this.
I like Seders. I eat gefilte fish all year. Go ahead.
It's my favorite.
We have time for
it. It's true.
I love it.
It's true.
I think that the whole idea that we are in a war highlights the fact that these chaplains have to be able to pray according to the dictates of their conscience. Because, folks, we're not talking about, you know, a bunch of high school students getting around a flagpole and praying. And that's fine. I mean, we supported it. We took the cases all the way to the Supreme Court in the United States that authorized all that. That's great. And the students are having great prayer meetings, and it's their neighborhood Bible studies are great. But these are people, are men and women that are in harm's way. I mean, that's what we're fighting for, the chaplain's ability to pray, and they're on the battlefield. Jordan, one of the things that we found out in our government affairs office was that we were hearing from chaplains in the battlefield.
We've heard from chaplains all over the world serving our country, whether it's Afghanistan, Iraq, and in other places. Remember, we've got military men and women all around the world and most of the continents on the whole globe, and they're there, and they're serving, and we've heard from them directly on the ground from Iraq, from Afghanistan, and other countries saying, it's true. I'm scared to do things, or I've been told, you better not do that again. You better not say that prayer that way again, or we're going to be reprimanded. And many chaplains have been reprimanded. We've talked to those chaplains. We've had them on air before. We've talked to some chaplains that have had to go ahead and resign because they felt like they just could not do their job anymore by the dictates of their faith.
They're being told not to use Jesus' name when they're giving a prayer at an event. It could even be funeral services or as the soldiers are about to go out in battle. There are a variety of different chaplains within the context of the military. So the idea is that you have these different chaplains so that people are covered, people are protected. But this is the fight. This is the battle. Should our military chaplains have the right to pray according to the dictates of their conscience? And should President Bush sign an executive order on this? And by the way, folks, we are doing all of that legal research on the executive orders literally as we speak. This is an urgent matter for us. We want to hear from you. Make sure these chaplains can pray according to the dictates of their conscience, according to the dictates of their faith commitment, without, as Pat said, censorship. So again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org for updated information.
When the United States wants to have a bright future, it has to see that brightness reflected in the young people.
Former Attorney General John Ashcroft is a distinguished professor of law and government at Regent University. Hi, this is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. At Regent University, we believe in leadership to change the world. Regent's undergrad program offers a first-rate faculty and cutting-edge curriculum, something that is very attractive to students and to lecturers like John Ashcroft as well.
This idea of Regent University, where the truth is welcomed, that gives people a wholeness and a well-rounded character that provides for them a basis in leadership that we've seen in the great leaders in American history.
You can learn from John Ashcroft and other leaders by enrolling in Regent's undergraduate program. Courses are offered online and on campus. All are taught from a Christian worldview. For more information or to apply, visit regentundergrad.com or call 1-800-374-4504. That's 1-800-374-4504 or regentundergrad.com. Enroll today.
Now more than ever, our men and women who serve in the military deserve our gratitude, our respect, and our prayers. And those who serve in the military should be able to turn to their chaplains for prayer. But there's a problem. The freedom of military chaplains to pray according to their faith is now threatened. It's a troubling development, one that must be met head-on. That's why the American Center for Law and Justice is backing an effort spearheaded by North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones to urge President Bush to direct Defense Secretary Gates to issue new regulations to protect the constitutional right of military chaplains to pray according to their faith. That means ensuring chaplains can pray in the name of Jesus. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the petition to protect military prayer. Send an important message to President Bush. Sign the petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255.
1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. The Petition to Protect Military Prayer. You can also add your name online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. You've been listening to an important debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy, broken it up into segments for you, and it's an important debate. This is about the role of religion in our military schools. This was done at the U.S. Air Force Academy.
We have time for one more question before we go to our concluding
Gina
remarks.
Gina Topp, a spouse of a retired military officer. I think the test is if you substitute other words for these things. And my question is, would it be acceptable to the religious majority if a Muslim coach put praise be to Allah in the gym or the locker room?
Sure.
Would it be okay for the Muslim chaplain to say praise be to Muhammad before the Air Force ball? And would it be okay at a change of command for a colonel or a general to say, let me quote a few words from the Quran? So if this is all acceptable, then it's acceptable both ways.
Sure.
But if it's not, if that bothers you in some little way, then...
Well, first of all, the Muslim chaplain wouldn't say praise to Allah. He would say praise to Allah. He would not say praise to Muhammad because Muhammad is the prophet. Allah is God. All Allah means in Arabic is God. If the Muslim chaplain was giving a prayer, I might really disagree with the prayer. But you know what? Let us all stand up. I would have enough respect. Believe me, I've heard plenty of prayers I've disagreed with. That I would stand up out of respect for their religious beliefs. If that was the chaplain that was on call, I can tolerate that. I may not like it, but you know, I can tolerate it.
But see, Jay, that's being used. What's happening right now in this country is that that's being used at the camel's nose under the tent. It becomes a loss leader. It becomes a way to basically, spread the gospel, push it one way. Because as I said before, ultimately we are dealing with this dominionist Christianity, which intends to Christianize all aspects of American life. It's not the Hindus, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Muslims that we're dealing with. It's the dominionist Christians.
Okay, Mike, hold it. So a Muslim chaplain says, all praise be to Allah, which is what they would say, and Muhammad is messenger.
No, not at a mandatory military formation.
Hold. I'm at a funeral for a Muslim soldier who was slain. You don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't.
Okay, that's because it's a service for that particular person.
And because the people that are there, unless they've been ordered to be there, and we've had situations like that, if it's voluntary, of course. It'd be counterintuitive in the extremists.
If voluntary is the standard, I think this is easy. If voluntary is the standard, it's easy. If a Jewish chaplain were to get up and was asked to give at the prayer at the change of command, and it was the Jewish chaplain, the rabbi's chance, and he said Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which is the Shema which is supposed to be said when
well
a Jew.
Well done.
Any problem?
No, you did it. Yeah, no. If it's a mandatory,
problem?
Absolutely. If it's a mandatory military formation, I have a problem with that.
Okay.
And so does the law have a problem with that. So that's where we're going to... I'm not going to make it. It's not a warm, cuddly Jewish or Jesus teddy bear.
All right.
Next question.
This is a big issue. There is a lot at stake here. Our military chaplains are commissioned by the Baptist or a Catholic priest or whatever they might be. Could be Pentecostal. All the variety of religious groups you can think of. But right now they're being told to basically give a sanitized prayer, a prayer that does not mention the specific reference to a specific deity. And whenever they say that, folks, you know what that means. Don't pray in Jesus' name. Now, we saw some good results with this rollback right before the legislative break, Jordan. That was the compromise. But now it is going to take a presidential order. I need you to call this number right now, 877-989-2255. This is to add your name to a petition supporting an executive order from President Bush protecting our chaplain's right to pray. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. 877-989-2255 for our chaplains to have the right to pray. Also, you can sign up online. There's great resources available at aclj.org.
Mr. Sekulow, my question's for you. I'm C1C Weinstein, CS33. Do you think that if a major, like you said, a major could attend a Bible study with subordinates, and you said it's fine, obviously, do you think that if a major attends a Bible study with subordinates, it would give those subordinates who attend an unfair advantage to those who choose not to attend? For instance, I'm going to be a second lieutenant pretty soon, and say I'm up for a job with one other second lieutenant, and he attends the Bible study on a regular basis and shares those exact values that I might not share.
Right.
Do you think that would give him an unfair advantage to me because they have time to socialize and exchange their values that I might not share? But you can say that, yes, that would be bad for that major to choose him based on that, but don't you think that would still weigh on his mind when choosing if we're both
exactly
the same?
Well, I would hope not, and I appreciate the question. I would hope not because, we've all, those of us that have taught, you always have students that have brown nose a little bit. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't happen at the academy.
But
it happens every place else in America. And I have those students, and I had a student last year, and he, every event, every time we had a moot court on a case I was doing, he was there, his paper was still a C.
Is this at Regent Law School?
Yeah, even at Regent Law School.
Oh, my God.
And he was, and he got a C. And and he came to me and said, but Mr. Sekulow, I came to every event. I said, but your paper stunk. It wasn't that good, and I was being generous. So my taking your question, which is very serious, it should never be, and that people should be evaluated on their merit and their performance academically, whether it's in the combat or whatever it might be. I don't think that should be a factor, and I think we should be able to understand that you could fellowship, as the phrase is used, without making that an unfair advantage, because you're going to be invited to things when you're serving as a lieutenant that your superior is going to say you need to come to. And it may not have anything to do with religion, and maybe it does get you some points. But that doesn't mean it should. If it's religious, it should not. But I don't think that means you stop doing it. But it's a great question.
I do agree with you on that, but you can't say that it's not going to happen for everyone. I mean, I'm pretty sure
I can't say that, but you got to hope that you've got
policies
and procedures.
That's just an unfair advantage that we're going to just have to live with, and I understand that.
Yeah. Look, you're going to be faced with this in situations even outside of the religious questions. You're going to be asked to do things. I think that's where you got to have policies and procedures that people are evaluated on merit. As you should be, I'm sure you will be.
Comment, Mr. Weinstein?
Yeah, I was going to say, please call your mother. It's been a couple of days.
And I hope you were at the Seder.
This is the challenge of the day, and that is to protect our military chaplains. 877-989-2255. That's a letter. That's basically you signing on to a letter of petition going to the President of the United States saying issue an executive order. He has the authority to do it. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to protect our military chaplains. Go to ACLJ.org for updated information. Jordan's going to tell you how you can sign the petition to support our military chaplains. We're going to do that right now, or ACLJ.org.
There's two ways to do so. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255.
And can you imagine, folks, this is what's the irony of all of this is, in these military situations, you want prayer to be there, and you want these chaplains to pray according to their faith commitment, to the dictates of their conscience. That's why you have a variety of different denominations represented in the chaplaincy corps. But that's not what's going on right now. But we've got a chance to change this, but it's going to take your voice to be heard. We've got to get an executive order from President Bush. Here's the phone number. Walter Jones is pushing for it. We want to help him as well. 877-989-2255. Let me urge you to call this number. Add your name to our petition urging President Bush to support our military chaplains with an executive order protecting prayer of our chaplains. 877-989-2255. If they want to pray in Jesus' name, they certainly should have the right to do that. Also, information at ACLJ.org. If you want to make sure these chaplains are protected legally, it is critical that you go to your phones and join our petition to get this executive order in place from the president. We need your help on this. I'm urgently calling for your participation, and we really want you to help us to make sure these chaplains can pray according to the dictates of their conscience, according to the dictates of their faith commitment, without censorship. So again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org for updated information.
Folks, tomorrow on the broadcast, you'll hear more from the debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy. We thank you for listening today.